This is Catherine Foley, and I'm here today with Patricia Crosby with our series Conversations from the Archive, and it's the 20th of October 2016. Patricia Crosby, you've danced ballet for most of your life.
Yes.
And you've donated so much material to the archive. But can I talk first to you about your introduction to ballet?
Well, my introduction to ballet was through Joan Denise Moriarty in Cork, because I'm from Cork. And I'm one of eight children, five girls, and my mom sent all of us to ballet class when we were small. And Joan Denise Moriarty at that time was the only ballet school in Cork. And we went there every week, and I just fell in love with it. My other sisters kind of moved on to horse riding or hockey or whatever else they wanted to do, but I just loved it. I loved the music that went with the movement. And that feeling as well, I think for me particularly, because I was very shy and quiet, of not having to vocalise verbally, literally, but just to be able to use the movement to express feeling. I think, even though I probably didn't realise it at the time, that's why I felt so at home with it. And so I kept going to my ballet school, to Miss Moriarty's, and then at the time she had an amateur company called the Cork Ballet Company. Mm-hmm. That she had formed in, I think it was in actually back in the 1940s. And she, along with Professor Alois Fleischmann and his Cork Symphony Orchestra, they used to put on one big production in the Opera House every year, one of the big classical ballets. And it was totally amateur production, except that they would bring in two guest artists every year from abroad to dance the lead roles. So my first performance per se with them was when I was 10. And I just, it was in the ballet, The Sleeping Beauty. And I remember I was just a page boy carrying on a present for the baby in the first, in the prologue scene. And I remember just being on that stage and just loving it. And from there on, I was completely hooked, not just with ballet, but the whole performance art that goes with it. And the whole excitement of having live music playing as well while you are dancing and working. And even the rehearsals, I always remember, were so wonderful. The first rehearsal with the orchestra in the Aula Maxima in UCC was just so exciting. And then when I left school, I left school in 1976, Regina Mundy College in Cork. But 3 years prior to this, Joan Denise Moriarty had got the funding to form a professional ballet company, which was based in Cork. And so when I left school in 76, the company offered me a student apprenticeship for a year. And I joined the company for a year as a student. But about 3 months into the year, one of the other dancers, one of the professional dancers, got injured. And she went back to England. She was from the UK. And basically, rather than employing another dancer midway through the year, I was kind of thrown into a lot of her roles, because initially as a student I would have just been doing class, learning all the productions. But when the company went on tour, which they did, I was left at home. But because I now took over this girl's roles, I was thrown out on the road, and it was just wonderful. It was so exciting. The company, this was originally Irish Ballet Company, later called Irish National Ballet. In 1983 it was renamed. The company was made up of anything between 12 and 16 dancers per year. It was a full year, a full 365-day contract, which nowadays with small companies is quite rare because they don't have the funding for it. But in those days, it was the only professional company in Ireland at the time, ballet, contemporary or any of them. So it attracted dancers from all over the world. So we had this little eclectic, interesting little group in Cork in the 70s from America, Canada, Europe, France, Spain, and Ireland, of course. And it was great. It was lovely. And we would tour Ireland twice a year. There was a spring tour and an autumn tour. We'd have a season in Cork Opera House for a week, and then 1 or 2 weeks in the Abbey Theatre in Dublin in June. Interspersed with that throughout the year, we would possibly perform with the Dublin Grand Opera Society. And yeah, so then there was 1 year, 1978, Joan Denise Moriarty was asked to choreograph a ballet for mm-hmm. the opening of the Dublin Theatre Festival. And she chose to do a dance version of the Playboy of the Western World. And she collaborated with the Chieftains, with Paddy mm-hmm. Maloney and the Chieftains, and they played live for us. Mm-hmm. It was a full production, opened at the Olympia Theatre in October 78. Then we did a performed it again then in the Opera House in Cork, and then Noel Pearson took it to City Centre Theatre in New York in 1979. Mm-hmm. I think it was 2 weeks. And
how did you find that, being in New York?
Oh, amazing. I mean, mm. I'd never been, obviously, mm. before. Mm. I was 19. And I was also playing the role of the Widow Quinn in that production, which was, in a way, wouldn't have been my chosen role because
you deferred Peggy Mike.
I would, of course, or even just one of the girls, because they were all wearing sort of pretty, you yes. know. But the interpretation that I was given for the Widow Quinn was that she was an older woman. Now, to mm-hmm. me, then, somebody, anything over 40 was old, if I think about it now. Yeah. But they padded me out so that I looked mm. like, you know, jolly, and yes. and I had to dye my hair red and pile it on top of my head and paint lines on my face. So it was a real character role. And it was great. Mm. It was great fun to do. But always at the back of my mind, I just wanted to do more of a dance role in there. But it was super. And we did get to dance in City Centre, New York. And we also, the following year, then we were part of a festival called mm. A Sense of Ireland, mm. which was held in London mm-hmm. In 1980. And this was to kind of counteract the troubles and the, mm. the problems and the war, basically, that was happening in Northern Ireland, to show English people that this was also happening in Ireland in spite of everything else mm-hmm. that was going on. So it was like a culture. And it was called A Sense of Ireland. And we were taken, Irish Ballet Company was brought over to Sadler's Wells Theatre mm. to perform Playboy at the Western World again with the Chieftains. Mm. And again, that was just a wonderful, exciting mm. time.
Yeah. Would you say that was one of your most famous works, the Playboy?
I think it was probably one of Joan Denise Moriarty's favourite mm. famous works. And it was also, it was just because it was a famous play originally. Mm-hmm. And also, it was the first time it had been interpreted using ballet and folk, Irish folk dance. Mm. And she combined the two mm. together. And it was a full-length ballet. Previously mm-hmm. to this, she had worked with Sean O'Riordan on her shorter ballets, which would have been maybe 20 minutes long. Mm-hmm. And this was the full 2.5 hours long, I seem to remember. So it probably was. However, It wasn't necessarily what the dancers wanted to do, mm-hmm. to be totally honest. It was great fun, mm-hmm. but I remember one of the critics in New York said, "This is all great and it's lovely, but we would love to see the ballet company coming back next year with their regular repertoire," which was, yes, some folk and Irish ballet, but classical ballet, a lot of contemporary work mm-hmm. from Domi Reicher-Sofer, who was also the artistic advisor to the company. We had works by Royston Maldoom, we had works by Anton Dolan, and also an Irish choreographer. He did Paddy Cath for the company. We had many original works and many reproductions, and Peter Darrell did at least 3, if not 4, ballets for the company. He was artistic director of Scottish Ballet at the time. So there's an awful lot going on throughout the year, but of course, like with a lot of things, the big name is the one that's kind of always associated.
Do you think it was the fact you had the Chieftains playing with you as well?
Of course, mm. because when we went on tour, normally we danced mm. to taped music. Mm-hmm. It was just because the programme also was so varied that mm-hmm. you couldn't get everybody, you know, from yeah. all of. So it was to taped music. And this, apart from the times when we performed in Cork, we also used the Cork Symphony Orchestra then. But apart from those 2 times, it was always to tape. Mm. And I don't know, there's just something about the live music playing with the dance that just makes it special.
Well, as a dancer and mm-hmm. as an audience member, I suppose, as well.
Absolutely.
Seeing the combination in front
yeah.
of you.
Yeah.
So, Pat, you've been performing so for most of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any one performance that stands out for you as being particularly special?
There's lots. There really is lots, but I would have to say probably when I danced Odette O'Deal in Swan Lake in Cork, and that was in 1983. And I had never, that is one of the big roles for any ballerina. And I had never attempted anything of that scale or technique or endurance or, and particularly as I had to do 7 performances in a row. And that's actually unheard of in the dance world. There's always, you do 2 or 3 possibly in a row, and then somebody else would do the next 2 or 3 or whatever. So it was a marathon, but it was just incredible. Yeah.
Do you think the fact you had to do the 7 days was because there was nobody else to take over from
you? Oh, yes, absolutely. And it was just that one season. It was just that one week, literally, in the opera house. And so it was just go, do, yes. And the same thing with having finance to have to pay for 2 lots of dancers is it's only the bigger companies really that can afford to do that.
And who inspired you as a ballet dancer, as a young ballet dancer? Who did you look up to as a ballet dancer?
When I was growing up in Ireland at that time, all of my knowledge of other dancers was literally through books or through the possible film that you would see. It wasn't video, it would have been film. Because of the problems in the north, the war in the north, there was I think my mum saw the Bolshoi in 1963 in Dublin, and that was the last time, or shortly after that, all the companies stopped coming to Ireland. So I had never actually seen a live performance until I left Ireland in 1982, other than Irish Ballet Company, because I obviously went to see them before I joined the company. But I'd never actually seen live performances or productions. So it was really just through books, but I always liked Lynn Seymour. She was a Canadian dancer. Just from reading about her, Kenneth MacMillan plucked her from the core to ballet, do you know what I mean? Because she was not just a fine technician, she also knew how to act and to portray a role. The ballet dancers for me that just stand there and do amazing things don't mean a whole lot to me personally, now being in the audience. I like to see somebody who is really involved in what they're doing and performing it and portraying the role. So Lynn Seymour would have been one. And I remember years later when I was in London, she was teaching in Danceworks, where I used to go and just take open class. And I used to just, I was in her class. So I had that, eventually I learned from her.
Yeah.
And also people like Sylvie Guillem, who's only just retired, I think, in this last year. Beautiful French dancer. Again, they're slightly independent, these dancers. They go their own way. They don't fit into the norm. She has really still one of the most amazing techniques that any dancer I've seen, really. But she's also just this amazing performer.
And would you have heard of Fontaine, Margot Fontaine?
Of course, yeah.
But in a book, is it?
It was always just pictures in a book, yeah. I did get to see Nureyev perform just by pure accident when I was in London. This would have been 1983. And he had actually come over he was working with the Paris Opera at the time, but he came over to set his Bayadère for the Royal. And he was just setting it. But I went to see it, and the male dancer was injured. And believe it or not, Nureyev stepped in. Now he was past his prime, but oh my God, it was just the most. I was up in the gods in Covent Garden and looking right down on a god also dancing. I have to say, even without that technique, he was still, it was just, yeah.
His presence.
Wonderful, yeah. Yes. By pure accident, because he had stopped dancing, really.
Yeah. And so you're still performing?
Just about. Yes. In fact, I'm still performing with Cork City Ballet actually in the next few weeks, because we have a production of Giselle coming up, and I'm playing Giselle's mum again. Yes. But I think it's probably Giselle's grandmother this time. But yeah, Giselle's mum.
Oh, well done.
Yeah.
And you're teaching as well, and you have taught for a long time as well as performing. Can you talk to us a bit about your teaching experience?
Okay, well, I moved back from London. I moved to London in 1982.
What age were you then, if you don't mind me asking?
I was 25, I think.
Okay.
24. So I moved back then, after living and working there for nearly 16 years, mm-hmm. to Cork. I moved back at the end of the 90s.
Did you work as a dancer there?
Yes, yes. Okay. And I also started my choreography there because mm-hmm. I met and actually married Ray Davies from the Kinks rock group, and I used to tour with them choreographing mm-hmm. some dance numbers in that. And that was actually really interesting because the dancers were on point, but it was to rock music. And so that was a complete breakaway from anything I had ever done. Mm-hmm. But it was fascinating because with a rock audience, you know straight away if they like it or not, unlike other audiences mm-hmm. where they're sitting mm-hmm. politely. And they loved this a little. We used to do about four songs in the concert. Mm-hmm. Live, obviously, and there we had our live music mm-hmm. completely. And we had little stories, little vignettes happening, and yeah, it was just me and another girl.
So two ballet dancers.
Two ballet dancers.
And you toured with a group.
We toured all over the world, literally. We danced everywhere. It was quite amazing, actually.
So are there any videos of that today?
There are, yes there are, right. And I might be able to try and get some for you. But also prior to that, I danced in London with Alexander Roy's London Ballet Theatre Company and Vienna Festival Ballet, which was also based in London. So I toured again with them all around the UK and France. And yeah, so just kept working all the time, yeah.
And then you eventually came back to Cork.
Then eventually came back. By this stage, I had a daughter, so I wasn't, you know, I'd kind of almost thought, okay, that's really it with dancing for me. But then Alan Foley, director of Cork City Ballet at the time, that was now, had started in 1993, I think he started that in Cork, literally came knocking on my door and mm-hmm. said, would you perform and choreograph a solo in our next production? And I thought, this man must be crazy, because in my head I had stopped. But actually, yeah, I did. I choreographed a solo for myself, which was really interesting because I had only worked with other people. Yes, I'd choreographed for myself, but it was in the context of another girl or a particular mm-hmm. story or a line or a particular storyboard per se. So this was literally just for me. So I was able to really put into it what I felt perhaps at the time. So that was really nice. And then from there on, Alan then asked me to come on board as a teacher and then as ballet mistress a few years later. So now I'm ballet mistress for the company, and I also teach open classes for the company as well in the Firkin Crane in Cork. So, yeah.
And you're teaching here at the University of Limerick, the Irish World Academy.
Absolutely. Yes, it's wonderful. I'm teaching on the MA program and also on the BA program, so I'm doing both, and it's just wonderful because you meet, apart from just the actual teaching, you meet so many people from all over the world. It's just phenomenal. Every year this seems to widen, doesn't it, really, the whole
well,
global
does.
It really does seem to widen. Yeah, it's wonderful.
And I know the students love you here as well.
But I just love teaching at that level as well, because most of them will have done some ballet, but they're really eager and keen to learn, which is really lovely. Yeah.
And you train, I know you train dancers who are Irish dancers.
Yes.
And you train people who are contemporary dancers as well.
Yeah.
So how do you find that? Is that very challenging for you?
It is, but having done both myself, not necessarily Irish step dancing, but at least having learned a few of the basic steps through the past with Joan Denise Moriarty's ballets, and also I did a lot of contemporary work within the companies that I was in. So I kind of, you know, have a feel, if you like, per se, for it, and I know where they're coming from. And I think I certainly sat down and thought long and hard about what they would, as contemporary dancers, for instance, would need from a ballet class, as opposed to just doing a ballet class, so that they can take something out of it and put it into their genre or their field. And the same, I think, with the Irish dancers, hopefully.
So
it's great. It's love it. It's just, I've learned as well so much from doing that. I've learned so much about ballet just from having to take it away and take
look
it down
at other
and
aesthetics.
Break it down a little bit and look at it from a different angle.
Yes.
So it's taught me a lot.
Yeah. And you're choreographing as well all the time, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. I am. I've choreographed numerous pieces for Cork City Ballet, both jazz ballets, and I did a reproduction of the infamous Playboy of the Western World.
Great.
I think there was a little bit of in my head of that whole thing when I originally did Joan Denise Moriarty's production, of that wanting to, the Widow Quinn role, wanting to take that a little bit more and take it to have it as a dancer's role as opposed to a caricature and a character role. So that was part of why I wanted to redo it, but also I just thought it would be nice. It was part of a centenary celebration for Joan Denise Moriarty in 2012. And I was asked to reproduce it. So I did. I used completely different music, and unfortunately we weren't able to have live music. But I just gathered music from Alton, from Christy Moore, from Dae Danann, so many different genres, and one track from The Chieftains as well, and just put this much shorter version together. And the difference that, one of the other differences that I used as well in this was that I put the girls on point, whereas in Moriarty's original production they weren't, they were just in flat ballet shoes. So the girls were on point, and the role, I recreated the role for myself of the Widow Quinn.
And for yourself, and you performed it.
Yes.
Great.
And even though I was way older than the 19-year-old, in fact I was, what was I, 50, over 50 at that stage, I put in way more steps and way more dancing. Now, she wasn't on point. But the following year, we did the ballet again as part of Cork City Ballet's production in the Opera House. And I didn't dance it that time. I got another dancer to dance it, and I put her on point.
Okay.
So it did kind of, for me, it did kind of come right around to that part where she was a... Because, you know, in the play, she's actually only in her 30s, the Widow Quinn. Do you know? So that's young. So rather than have her sort of walking around with a great big shawl, which was the way I had to portray it in the original production, I just wanted to give her a bit of a life.
A bit of oomph and a bit of energy.
And a bit of, yes. She's only 30, so you know.
Well, we look forward to seeing that again.
I hope so. Yeah.
And Pat, you've donated a lot to the National Dance Archive of Ireland. If I was to ask you, is there any item within your collection of the National Dance Archive that has special meaning for you? Would there be something you would select, or one or two things that you might like to select?
Yeah, I mean, going over it and going through all of this for the archives, the programmes actually, reading through them, mean an awful lot. And I'm sorry in a way that I didn't keep more. I mean, my mum was great. She kept a lot. But at the time, especially when you're travelling so much, you don't. But there were two programmes that I did find. One was when Irish Ballet Company toured in Yugoslavia. And that was in 1977. And that was a complete one-off. The company rarely toured outside Ireland, but we were brought over there and we toured. We just, I think we did about four, if not five, different performances. And it was the original Yugoslavia. And that was just the most exciting time, touring in a country like that and bringing our Irish ballet company with our normal rep of Irish dance, our Domi Writers of Fair contemporary productions, and so many different classical pas de deux to perform there. And I remember performing, it was the first time ever performing in an outdoor theatre, an amphitheatre. It was just stunning. It was just a magic for
Can
me.
Can you remember where you went?
We went to Ljubljana. We went to Zagreb. We also played in a, and it was the first place we played in, a small town called Opatija. O-P-A-T-I-J-A, I believe is the spelling. It was a beautiful place right on the coast. And we were also supposed to play in a... there was another place, Split, we were meant to go to, ironically, called Split. But that was cancelled, I think, at the last minute. I can't remember why. But yeah, so that was the first time the company that I was in, that I knew, toured abroad.
And was Joan Denise Moriarty with you at that stage?
Yes. She was.
She would tour with you?
Yes, she did.
Okay.
Yes, yes,
and you said you did Irish dance work.
Yeah.
What kind of Irish dance work did you do?
Well, I remember on that tour, I think we did The Devil to Pay, which was Moriarty's, Joan Denise Moriarty's choreography to Shona Rea the music. And it was a folk tale, about 20 minutes long. And the audiences, I remember, just adored it. because even though, again, we're back to the taped music, you could still hear the energy in those jigs and reels. And remember, this was way before Riverdance or anything. And when you're going to a country like Yugoslavia, who was behind the Iron Curtain, you know, it, per se, even though it was one of the most liberal of the countries there. To be exposed to that, I suppose, when you think about it, even though we possibly didn't even realise the enormous, the enormity of it at the time, it it was huge. It was it was great, and you got that again, that instant, as soon as that music, the rhythm, the music started, boom, you got that instant vibe back from the audiences, and that was just it was really lovely.
So I can imagine why the programmes then mean so much to you, because they're not just programmes.
Yeah.
They bring back all these experiences and all these memories for you.
Exactly. And the other programme then that really brought back memories for me was 78 or 79, to be totally honest, I can't remember, but it was the first time the company toured Northern Ireland. And again, like I say, before that, if we were being starved down in the south from companies, imagine how it was in the six counties where nobody went up. So we started, the Northern Arts Council invited the company to perform and to tour there. And we did, I think we toured in nine different towns and cities, including Belfast and Derry, Lismaski, Coleraine. It was just, again, it was the audience's response when we when we performed was just, that's all I'll remember, you know, because they were so grateful that we had actually gone there, because at the time it was pretty dangerous, 1978-79. It was a dangerous place to be. Plus, we also had a lot of English dancers in the company who were very nervous, understandably, about travelling north. And it was, I do remember we had a big meeting before it was put to the all the dancers. If no, if anybody had a big problem with it, they didn't have to go and all of that sort of thing. But we went. And while it was... I'm not sure the word is not necessarily frightening, but it was definitely daunting, particularly crossing borders. Or I remember there was one time we were staying in Belfast in the Europa Hotel, the famous Europa Hotel. And we it was a Sunday morning, I remember. We were actually lying in because we'd performed on the Saturday night. And next thing I heard Ian Paisley's voice through a megaphone outside the hotel, which was covered in, which was surrounded by barbed wire, and he was shouting, because apparently it turned out that the Lord Mayor from Dublin was also staying in the hotel at the time, and he was having a go through his megaphone, and next thing we knew there was a bomb scare, and the British Army were in getting everybody out of the hotel. So it was all very surreal, if you like. And I'll never forget the staff of that hotel, because I since found out later that they actually had so many bomb scares that the, on their 100th bomb scare, they had a celebration cake to mark it.
Extraordinary.
It was so surreal when you think about it now. But they had so many bomb scares in that hotel, and we just happened to be there for one of them. Yeah, so there were so many memories. And then you go and you you perform, and the warmth of the people, particularly afterwards, who used to feed us, they do these enormous spreads of food for us afterwards, which was super for dancers.
Generosity.
Absolutely, yeah. They, but they were just so, I mean, it sounds, I don't know, but it does, they were just so grateful that we had made the effort to come. And I remember there was Irish Theatre Company at the same time as Irish Ballet Company, and they toured there as well. And we'd often meet up. Touring in Ireland, wherever we were, and that was lovely as well.
Yeah, it's your own little community as well.
Yeah.
So, Pat, if I was to say to you, what has ballet meant to you?
Oh, gosh.
What would you say?
Well, ballet dance has meant everything to me, really, I suppose. It really was my life. Without it suffocating my life, I think, you know, because you can fall into that. And I've seen people fall into it, and they become so internal and insular, but it was definitely, it's part of me, so therefore it's part of my life. But hopefully I didn't let it rule my life.
Well, Patricia Cosby, thank you so much for this interview today and for your contribution to the National Dance Archive and to Ballet and Dance in Ireland.
Pleasure. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you very much.